Good morning. How are you guys? Good. I thought that was cool. And part of the reason I wanted to show that is because I think it celebrates creativity. It celebrates art. You know, that whole title sequence piece in a movie, that's oftentimes that piece that we don't always pay a whole lot of attention to. It gets overlooked, doesn't it? And yet, you know, what we don't realize, if you took that out, you would notice a huge difference because the title sequence is a really important part of setting the tone and creating, almost like creating the environment or whatever, setting you up well for this film. And so the filmmaker, you know, is very specific and is about what they're going for. And so it takes a whole bunch of designers and artists and illustrators. I mean, I've met some of the people who do these things, and it's a ton of work to make that happen. So, you know, next time you go to a movie, you know, don't go and get your popcorn too late, all right? So make sure you can watch that part because you can think about all the time and creativity that went into making it happen, all right? So go watch a good movie tonight, but not Soylent Green because I already gave it away. Anyway, speaking of artists, so a few weeks ago we jumped into this conversation, this series called The New Artists. And, you know, my hope is that this series is igniting something in you, that it's sparking something, that it is even a little bit fun and stretching for you and inspiring. I know it has been for me, and it's been really good, and it's energized me a great deal. And yet, one of the things that I said right at the very beginning of the series, and I want to say it again today because I think it's really important, you know, at the end of the day, this series that we're doing, this conversation called The New Artist, is so much more than simply a series about art and about creativity. You know, ultimately, what this whole conversation is about and what this whole series is about is really, at the core, it's about understanding who we are as human beings. Who we are as human beings. And that's why right from the beginning, that first weekend, if you missed that, you should download the podcast, because that first weekend, we talked about and we spent time looking at some of the ideas and some of the beliefs we have about what it means to be human beings. You know, a lot of us, we have this definition of what it means to be human, or these ideas of what it means to be a human being that are far below who God really created us to be. And we talked about how even though there are times, there are moments when we as humans might choose to behave, to think, to act like consumers or destroyers, or to be passive or lazy, you know, couch potatoes, or function as like cogs in a machine, you know, as much as we might at times, act or think or believe those types of things, the fact of the matter is none of those things are who we truly are at the core. None of them. And in fact, if anything, what they all point us to is really the very thing that makes us so unique as a species and makes us, it really sets us apart from all other species, and that is what we've been talking about, this powerful, almost godlike imagination, this thing called creativity. And see, that's why, you know, as we learn to embrace those canvases that are surrounding our lives with things like sensitivity and with imagination and with creativity, as we embrace those canvases, not only are we rehumanizing ourselves, but the other thing we're doing is we're beginning the process of rehumanizing one another. Right? Because at the end of the day, one of the things you've heard me say is that to be human is to be creative. See, there's a reason why creativity sparks something in you. There's a reason you're drawn to creativity. There's a reason why you will feel most alive when you are creating. And yet, if your life is only about consuming or destroying or being and just trying to fit in and everything else, that is the most draining, tiresome way to live imaginable. And so, see, whenever we're being creative and whenever we're bringing goodness and truth and beauty and helping and embracing those canvases, what we're doing is we're helping each other become and move towards becoming the people who God created us to be. And so there's great opportunity here for us. And great opportunity for us, great opportunity for those around us. And so these past couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of those things that will help us to embrace those canvases. We talked about sensitivity. You say that word with me this morning, ready? Sensitivity, right? We talked about how sensitivity is what will allow us to become aware of what is, right? Sensitivity opens us up to how things are, what's right in front of us about what is. And then last weekend, we talked about this thing called imagination. And imagination is that thing that allows us to go beyond what is and allows us and enables us to begin to get a picture of what could be. Thankfully, we are not stuck in this place called what is, right? Aren't you, isn't that hopeful for you, right? And hopeful that this world and the way it is not the way that it always has to be. Things can change. Things can get better, right? And so sensitivity and imagination are huge. Well, the thing I want to talk about today is sort of the missing ingredient if you're ever going to really be an artist of any sort. Right, because you can have sensitivity and be aware of what is, and you can have imagination and start to dream about what could be, but if you don't have this thing we're talking about today, you will never go any further than that. All you'll ever have are good ideas. Your reality will never change. And so if we want to go beyond just seeing it in our hearts and in our minds, and in a way that will enable us to bring that idea, that solution, that art, that dream, that vision, that solution, whatever it is, into reality, is this thing that we're talking about today called creativity. Creativity. Say that word with me. Creativity. Now, did you know? Because a lot of us who grew up in the church, we weren't always told this, or it wasn't always understood, but creativity is a very spiritual matter. Did you know that? Creativity is very spiritual topic. I mean, in some ways, almost anything we talk about has some sort of spiritual connotation or connection, right? But creativity, I mean, if you think about it, it's almost impossible to talk about creativity without talking about the great creator, right? The great artist, I'm not talking about Da Vinci, I'm not talking about Van Gogh, great artist, but I'm talking about the great artist, right? Our creator, being itself, God, right? The great creator. And in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us what? Well, it tells us in the beginning. Let's read it together. Ready? In the beginning, God created. Stop. Let's read it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What we're told in Genesis 1 is that God is the creator. You know, or maybe God, that God, in the beginning, God created, or maybe even a better way of saying is, if you think about it, really, that in the beginning, God really initiated creation, right? God got the ball rolling on this thing called creation. Because if you think about it, instead of creating everything that will ever exist in one moment of time, what God chooses to do is to just start the work of creation. And then in those things that he creates, he gives everything the ability to create more. I mean, think about this. God creates the trees and gives the trees the ability to create more trees. Right? God creates, and we could go on down the list, right? God creates animals and gives animals the ability to create more animals. God creates, going down the list, plants and fish and all these, and of course, human beings. God creates in the image and in the likeness of God. There's something, and he breathes into man this breath of life, something divine, right? And so we are created in the image and likeness of our creator, and it's in this that mankind is not only given something divine, but is given the ability to use imagination and creativity. So what you see in this whole creation, and when you get a chance, go home and read Genesis 1 and just absorb it, because what you see in this story is how everything that God creates is essentially left unfinished, and God leaves it that way and then invites his creation to participate in the ongoing creation of this world. So we're like co-creators with God. Which means that no matter how much you might struggle in your life to feel that you are creative, or to believe that you are creative, or to even see that you are creative, no matter how much you might struggle with that, it doesn't change the fact that at the core of who you are is someone who is very, very, very creative. It is who you are at your essence. And I would say not only that, but to deny that creativity, to ignore that creativity is not only a shame, but in many ways you could say, the way I look at it, it's almost even like a rejection of the image of God that we have been created in. See, you and I are filled with creative potential. And the place that that creativity starts is right here in my life, right there in your life. And that's where creativity starts. Are you all with me? There's this great quote, Julia Cameron, who wrote this great book. It's one of those books that, like, you read it and it's great, but it also is very convicting. You know, it's kind of like the Bible, right? You ever read things in the Bible and go, oh, I love-hate that, right? That's a very love-hate relationship. Anyway, Julia Cameron, she wrote a great book called The Artist's Way. If you are stuck in a funk, you should read the book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way. She says it so well. She says this, creativity is God's gift to us. Using our creativity is our gift back to God. Thank good. I just absorbed that for a second. Creativity is God's gift to us. It's there, whether you feel it or believe it, it's there. And our use of creativity is our gift back to God. And so do you know what that tells me? And that tells me that as new artists, okay, and that's what we're called, that's what we're challenging each other to embrace, right? So as new artists, we're people who refuse to relegate creativity to just the artistic parts of our lives. And what we're willing to do is infuse everything we do with creativity, to infuse everything we do with sensitivity and to have imagination, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in a hobby, whether it's in a relationship or in parenting or fill in the blank, whatever it is that you have right in front of you, okay, the new artists, or we're people who we infuse that with creativity. And while everyone else around us might be just trying to maintain and survive and just sort of sleepwalk all the time, what we're saying is, no, we're going to wake up and we are going to dream and we're going to imagine and we're going to infuse everything we do with creativity. And so whether you are a teacher, whether you are a student, or you're in sales, or you're some sort of engineer, or accountant, or even unemployed, or I don't know, maybe you're a magician. I don't know where that came from, but let's just say you are. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether you're retired, okay? It's understanding that you and I have the opportunity to bring something creative to whatever it is we do. Whatever it is. So, this weekend, I thought it'd be really great for us to, instead of me just standing up here and talk to you about creativity, I've asked a small handful of friends, artists, friends here from the Orchard, to actually join me for a conversation about creativity. Because here's the thing, all right, listen, if we're going to truly live a creative life, if we're going to embrace those canvases that are surrounding our lives, then you know what that means? It means we got to learn how to live artful lives. And so if we're going to live artful lives, then probably who better to learn from outside of Jesus, right, who is an amazing artist. We're going to talk about that another time. But who better to talk to today than some of these artists who have learned how to and are learning how to flow and live as artists. Now, most of them you know. You've seen their work around the Orchard, but you have a chance to meet them right now. And we have today Maureen Gassick, Stephen Signa, a stranger named Ben Thomas, who sings up here once in a while, and of course, Mary Rodriguez is here with us today. So would you give them a big Orchard welcome? What's up, guys? I feel like we're on that show, Check Please.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a little over-salty. And, you know, anyway.
That's a fun show. I really like that show a lot. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for hanging out and being a part of this conversation. We had a great time last night. Mary, you're with us today. And really good to have you guys. Watch your mics on these monitors here, so just keep them aimed up. But let's start just with some introductions. Let everybody get to know you. Why don't you tell us who you are and what kind of work you do, what kind of creativity, what kind of art you do. Steven, should we start with you?
Sure.
All right.
My name is Steven Signa Aviles. I live in Aurora, and my work is primarily painting.
Hold on, you said your name so fast. You got to say it again.
Steven Signa Aviles.
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 yeah, so most of my work is painting, although my painting is specifically trying to walk a line of being sculpture and painting at the same time. So while I'm interested in portraying three-dimensional space on a flat surface, I want that surface to also behave as an object. So that's, there should be some...
Those are the wrong ones, man. I say the new one has the updated images on those, that other keynote. But we'll show those in a second.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm an artist.
Steven, you got started, kind of what inspired you initially was what, street art, right? Graffiti?
Absolutely,
and
I took a strong interest in graffiti, and I view it very much as an urban folk art, and trying to understand what was it about these young men living in disenfranchised urban areas that made them paint on trains and risk their lives to do so.
Yeah,
And in studying that, I developed a very strong interest in all art, really, because, that sort of capacity for human beings to make art under a tremendous variety of circumstances, yet art always seems to come out. So, yeah, that's one of the ways that I was...
Comes out of a lot of different places in our lives, doesn't it?
Steven also is a beard artist.
I'm a beard
artist. A beard artist?
No.
I think he said beer artist at first.
A little bit of that.
A beard artist. Well, Maureen, share with us about who you are, what you do. Maureen is a great friend, a part of the community, and actually all these guys are. Maureen, you and I met, what, four?
4 or 5 years ago.
At a coffee shop. You were hanging up your art, and I was... blown away by it, and we got into a conversation, and it was really, really cool.
Yep.
So, yeah, tell us what you do.
I'm Maureen Gasek. My passion is painting, but I've also done clay work and jewelry and metal work, and I try to continually educate myself, but again, my passion is painting, and there is a lot of my work around the orchard, and I'm also a graphic designer.
Yeah, in fact, if you guys were here on Easter, Maureen was the dancing painter, whatever dancing. That was awesome. By the way, were you guys remember that? That was incredible.
Look back there, and there's a thing of it. Yeah,
yeah. Say it again. Yeah.
There's if you look, turn around right there. Like that's part of the finished product that you guys saw kind of happen on Easter.
In less than 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Awesome. Mary. Quite contrary. Tell us about, you've been a part of the orchard for how long?
I've been a part of the orchard, I think almost 5 years.
About 5 years. Tell us what you do.
My day job, I work for a consulting firm called Accenture. I'm in training delivery. I live in Aurora. My artistic passion or hobby is photography.
Awesome. And in a minute, I want you to talk a little bit about like how you got started and all that as an artist. And then, but let's, last but not least, Ben... as I like to say, Tomas.
Mm-hmm. You'd like to say that?
I do.
Yeah, that's good. Me too.
Ben Thomas. can you bring Ben up a little bit? You can bring those guys down, Tony, and then bring Ben up a little bit. Thank you.
Bring him up a touch too. Both of ours are kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I know a lot of you guys. So that's and I'm here all the time. But in addition to being here and doing music, leading and teaching and doing all this fun stuff, I also have been doing singer-songwriter stuff for about 15 years and put a handful of records out and kind of developed a little network of people that also do that. And it's fun stuff.
Sometime I have to share the story about how Ben and I met. And, you know, what really drew me to him was his ability his skill, your skills as a singer-songwriter and your music that you write is really, really fantastic. And when I met Ben. It was love at first sight, you know. Little man crush that occurred.
When I first met Amanda, she was kind of like,
Amanda was a little jealous because then I asked her to start growing a beard and she wouldn't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Tony, bring me a little more on this monitor here so you can hear me. But well, you guys, thanks again for being here. And you guys all help contribute to make this place beautiful and great. And we really thank you for what you bring here and how that inspires us. But I just want to ask you guys a couple quick questions. And I first of all, what I'd love to hear is how did you guys get started as artists? Like, what was it that sort of led the way for that? And why don't we, Mary, can we start with you and share a little bit about what got you into photography?
Sure. What got me started? I come from a big family, and we were all in sports, and so my dad would always take photos of us in our sporting events. So I found a love of sports photography. So I did that for years. Like, when my kids were in sports, the neighbors, like anybody. And I actually did a website where I sold my photos for a while. So that once my kids got out of sports, then I started just paying more attention to the world around me and got a love for scenic photography. So just any landscapes, any vacations, I just love capturing the moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, just in these last year or so, really kind of just begin to embrace your canvas in a real time. I mean, tell us about that a little bit.
Sure. I've really been taking photos since high school. It's almost 30 years. But just in the last year, I think it was the U 2.0 series, when we talked about getting outside your comfort zone. And even though photography was my hobby, I'd never shown my photos to anyone outside the family. I'd never been in an art show and was really uncomfortable with that idea, honestly. But after one of those sermons,
Wait, I gotta ask you, why were you uncomfortable with that idea?
It's vulnerable. Like, putting yourself out there, putting your work out there, you put so much heart into it.
Yeah.
And I was a little shy about putting it out there, and if people didn't like it, or if they didn't agree with what I thought was beautiful, So I was very hesitant about that. But I just felt like God was pushing me to go outside my comfort zone and put my art out there and see what happened, you know. And ultimately, it didn't matter if the people looking at it were the ones who loved it.
Mm.
You know, I was capturing a moment that I thought was beautiful, and so I went with it. So I applied to be in the Aurora Art Walk.
That was awesome, yes. And you were. Your work was in the Art Walk.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I learned a lot about artists. I have a newfound respect for the work that goes into those shows.
They're not as weird as you think. Well, no, they are kind of weird. they are kind of weird, right? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But you were in the Aurora Art Walk. That was, and I gotta say, like, I was there and I saw your work, and I was really proud of you. It was just one of those moments where I knew that this was a big step for you. And it was interesting. I gotta tell you, like, one cool thing about Mary is that, in fact, it was at the Art Walk. She was holding this little camera, one of those little point and shoot. Yeah, and she was like, hey, can we get a picture together? I said, sure. And so someone takes the picture, and I looked at that camera, and I was like, you use that camera to take your photos? And because, I mean, your photos don't look like you use that. And you said, yeah, this is what I use. And I said, you got to be kidding me. But I got to say, like, what really spoke to me about that was that I think a lot of us think we have to have the best, or we have to have all the tools perfectly aligned and have everything in order before we start to create. Whereas I love that you just took what was right in front of you and you used it. And God was able to use that in ways that beyond which you would have, I mean, who would imagine that you would have art in the Aurora Art Walk, and you would have even the family room back here, all the photos, all are Mary's in there. She's got her own little gallery in there, which is really cool, and they are all for sale if you want to purchase one of them. But anyway, that's fantastic. What a great, that's very inspiring, I think, for all of us. Steven, let's jump over to you, man. What got you started in your artistic endeavors?
Well, I was homeschooled until fifth grade, and
no jokes, no homeschool jokes. I'm just kidding. I could say that because we homeschooled our kids. It's cool.
Homeschooling is awesome. I thought it was great. And one of the things that was from the very beginning, you know, my earliest memories had to do with learning and creativity. So if we were studying something, we would make something that would correspond to that concept or that that study. Mm. So for me, it was just, it was a natural thing that never left me. Even sort of in high school, you sort of get involved in whatever's going on in the social atmosphere that's around you. And
yeah.
I found high school a little bit of a struggle because there was no, like, I had no real advocacy for, yeah, you should make stuff. That's a really good idea. It was like, well, why are you making things? Go play football. And so, yeah. But post high school, I started to get into it much more and eventually got to this point where I was sort of like, okay, well, I've had plenty of fun making things on my own, but I want to be educated and I want to know sort of the depths and the, you know, the insight of artists who are older than me and who knew more about the medium that I was working with. And I wanted to know a little bit more about the history of art.
So yeah, yeah.
Getting an education was really vital to my...
So you went to school?
Yeah.
Where'd you
North
go?
Park University.
Okay.
Outside Chicago. Great small school. Go Vikings.
Woo! Woo! Did you hear that?
One.
Yeah. It's all right. Nice try, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm trying to make myself a professional artist, which is a difficult task, but one that I can't leave alone. That's sort of the struggle that I've chosen, and that's a good thing. Very good thing.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, Maureen, what got you started as an artist?
My story is a little different. My father died before I was 5, so
I know. It's all right.
I was alone a lot. And I grew up in the country, and I had to give myself permission to create. So there wasn't a lot of money, and so I would make paints and things out of grass and dandelions, and then realize that I could get purple from berries because I saw bird poop.
Oh, hold on. Is that how you learned color theory? Or like, you didn't even know color wheel, right? You had bird droppings.
The bird poo wheel.
I used to dig in the dirt a lot, and like, I thought I could dig to China. Like, it
yeah.
lay out of soil and make little clay balls, and I knew that was my, like, orange.
Okay, hold on. Here's the difference between me and you, Maureen. You thought you could dig to China. When I would dig in the ground, I was afraid I was going to actually find the devil. No, I'm not kidding. But I'm like, if I dig far enough, I might start feeling heat and see a little pointy ear sticking out of the soil.
I really thought I could dig to China.
Wow.
So in first grade, I did a collage with my hands, and I sold it for 25 cents. And I still remember getting that shiny quarter, and I kind of knew that that was something I was created to create.
That really affirmed you at a young age. It's amazing, like, the difference in stories, you know. I mean, Stephen, you're raised, like, in a home, an environment that's just, you know, creativity and art is just what you do as part of your education. Maureen, you said, I love what you said. You said, I had to give myself permission to create. That's fantastic, because I think a lot of people are just waiting for someone or, I don't know, permission to come from somewhere. And you said, I had to give myself permission. And I think that is absolutely...
It's funny. Even as she was saying that, like, I'm thinking about, like, you said, that being a kid doing that. And I was thinking about my kids creating stuff and how they just make stuff. Like, I don't ask them. I've never once asked my kids to, like, make pictures of our family.
Yeah.
But yet there are pictures of our family scattered all over our house.
Yeah.
And then, like, crayon and pencil and all kinds of things. It's like,
they just do it.
Just who they are. It just comes out of them. And it's, like, I think artists... I don't know, it's like you found that, and then you were like, I'm going to continue to do that. Why stop?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I didn't have someone to say, you know, do this. I was that pristine little kid that, like, I played with my Barbie dolls, and they stayed that Barbie doll. I didn't wash their hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was told I couldn't do that, you know, so there was, like, all these rules. And I think because my dad died when I was so young, my mom had to put these really stringent rules down. So,
Yeah.
Picking up that flower, looking at that bee.
Hopefully not picking the bee up.
No.
Ben, tell us, how about you, man? Like, how did you get started as an artist?
Gosh, I have no idea. I grew up wanting to do music. I grew up like playing music. I grew up learning. I learned a piano, and then I, you know, at some point I decided that I couldn't play enough Metallica songs on the piano, so I taught myself how to play guitar.
You just can't make the piano sound angry.
No, yeah. As hard as I hit that thing and knock it out of tune. But actually, I love the piano, man. That's my first, honestly, my first love in some ways. And then from there, really, I taught myself the guitar to be able to write songs. I have recollections of being a young kid wanting to make songs and write small little chunks of songs. And I didn't have any way of capturing that or anything. Yeah. Except, you know, sometimes when we finally got like a little tape recorder thing, I'd make music in that thing and whatnot. But
we actually have some clips of that right now that we'd like to play. No, I'm joking. Oh, how awesome would that be? I would love to hear that.
That feels like a talk show if you pull that on.
You're like, my mom is sad today.
Right?
No, I'm just kidding.
It was true.
You're like a singer-songwriter, so you know, like feeling.
I was like, I was like 6 years old and writing a lot of like emotional, heavy.
I stubbed my toe. Right. A lot of minor
chords.
And stuff.
Yeah, right. Like that. No, that's it. That's it. And then I just kind of continued in that route. And I think I've got kind of ADD as an artist too. I think I can't stay in one place or musical even. Genre or concept for a long period of time. So like my favorite musical artists are the ones that over a span of years and a career, every record of theirs changes. Like that to me is fascinating.
Constantly reinventing self
and reinventing like what the art is supposed to be and what it's supposed to mean and how it's supposed to speak to people and those things. So,
I love that. I think one of the ways when I was a kid. I always kind of see myself as a curator of spaces. Like, I love to just create environments and environments that kind of wow people, you know. And I remember as a kid, one of the things I would do is I would actually have, like, invite about 50 or 60 kids from the neighborhood over to my house. And I would have, like, a presentation of, like, puppets and music and magic tricks. Yes, I won't show you any, but... Sorry. But I would create little flyers and I would hand them, you know, and I would get teams of people together, like volunteers, and I would have them, like certain people would be over like the refreshments. I'd have somebody else who was in charge of the music and like the audio. And I was real.
That's exactly
like,
what he does here.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And like the snacks had to be good. I don't want any crappy snacks. Like they need to be good. All right. You know, but it was just interesting, you know, how like that was been a part of me for a long time, and so it's interesting.
Cool.
It's such great to hear. It's interesting to hear the stories. Let me change subjects a little bit because we've been talking about embracing those canvases in our lives, and you know, for that canvas is different for all of us. You know, your canvas, Mary, is. I mean, you're taking photographs, and so your canvas is something that is seen. Maybe it's printed out or seen online or put on a wall or whatever. You and Steven, you guys have all different kinds of canvases, material. But for some of us, our canvas is our jobs. It's the people around us, right? But we talked about sensitivity and the importance of sensitivity. But I would love just to hear from... I guess talk about that for a second. You know, how important is sensitivity for us as artists, and how has that played an important part in your experience? Anybody got any thoughts on that?
Just for me, I think it's being the sensitivity for me is just being aware of my surroundings and being aware of what's around me. So whether you're walking through downtown Aurora or in some beautiful country, there's beauty everywhere. So for me.
Yeah, it's so easy to miss it, isn't it? You guys were talking. We had a great conversation about this last night. You guys got to share a little bit of that, some of your thoughts.
Sure. I think one of the things that we touched on yesterday was the belief in the possibility for the profound and the small. Maureen kind of touched on it earlier as far as being in the woods and noticing flowers and thinking about and considering the magnificent design and relationship that a flower may have to the ground that it's on, to the animals around it. These things are sort of, we don't necessarily think about them in our day-to-day, but in the moments when we can slow down and be sensitive to the world around us, we can find the profound in those things.
Yes.
And I think sensitivity and appreciation are also are very close to each other, because, you know, I mean, even in our relationships, being sensitive and appreciating those around us, my wife, my mom, my sister, my nephew, and appreciating, Maureen also had a lot of good things to say about, like, recognizing others and sort of, I'll let you say more about that.
I'm really a jovial, people that know me, a happy person, and but I'm really an internally very sensitive person, so I always think that, you know, that simple blade of grass, that how artistic and how beautiful can that be? When I look at someone and I speak to them, I like to notice maybe that little dimple they have, or that little extra wrinkle, or what's endearing to their face.
Oh, that's great. I'm never going to look at you again. You may look.
But it is. It's really important to be sensitive to those things, because we don't. We just kind of look at surface too much.
So true. So true.
We look at surface too much. And I mean, if you look down and you look at the carpet in front of you, do you see the carpet, or do you see maybe some of the paint on the carpet that I might have got on it? you know, I look at the person next to you. You know, what are they wearing? Or don't look at them and think of, what are they wearing right now? Do you know what color they have on? Those little things to make you aware and observe,
yes,
is really what makes that sensitivity in you.
That's so good. It's just, I think slowing down,
yeah,
is the hard thing. You know, it's just slowing down and taking the time. I was on Friday, I was in New York, and I went to the, I had an awesome privilege of going to the Museum of Modern Art. And if you've ever been there, like, you know, like, actually standing close to paintings by, like, Van Gogh and, you know, Matisse and Picasso, like, it's really amazing. But it was interesting because I found myself, I mean, here I am physically in front of these paintings, and I found myself, and I think it was just because of time, and I had to catch a flight out, and I'm like, wanted to see a lot. I was choosing quantity over quality, and I was just trying to go to the next painting and just grabbing some photos, and I found myself having to tell myself, like, just stop and just look at the texture and look at the details, because to be able to see, and I found myself thinking, if I can't do that standing right here in front of an actual piece of art by one of these great artists, when can I do that, you know? So I think sensitivity is about slowing down, isn't it?
It's almost like artists are the ones that take the long route to get somewhere. You know, if they're headed from point A to point B, they're not so concerned about just getting to that destination as they are as that
good
process of getting there. And I see that in you guys. I sense that, and there are times in myself when I have to affirm that in myself, though, and let myself do that, give myself permission to take the long route and to view that and to slow down a little.
Think about how many times we get lost and we get upset we're lost.
Yeah.
I love being lost because I always find something new.
Yeah.
You know, when you get lost the next time or you take the wrong turn, think about what you're seeing or what you might experience, whether you're walking,
it's good,
whether you're driving, you know.
Let's talk about for a minute about the creative process, because I think a lot of people see art and you know, I mean, just take this logo, for example. You know, they see art of whatever form it might be. And I think a lot of times we think that it just sort of appeared magically. Like, it's just one day I created. Well, the truth is that at the end of the day, creativity is absolutely hard work. It is difficult, painful work. And I think we all feel that in whatever it is we're creating. It's a lot like life. Life is the same way. But I would love for you guys to talk a little bit about the creative process. Like, tell me about your creative process. What is maybe the most challenging part of that creative process? Who wants to talk about that?
I will. Well, for me, the most challenging part of the creative process is getting started. I think having been through, you know, X amount of paintings or X amount of artworks, you sort of know that there's going to be this point in which that process is going to be on you. You know, it's when you're in this process of making something, it's not always easy and it's not always fun. Sometimes it's agonizing. And so, you know, I'll talk to my wife while I'm making a painting, and she'll recognize you, say, you hate this right now, don't you? I say, yes, I do, but I have to get through it. Like I,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she knows that even though I don't like it, at the end of it,
yeah,
you know, there's no better thing than to see it done. But so recognizing the problems that you encounter and the issues of space, time, and materials and money, how do you start something? You have to believe that it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You have to believe that it's going to be worth it, that you'll learn something, and that you'll be able to share that with someone at the end of it. So that sometimes, for me at least, it's difficult to get started, but once I'm there, even though that process is not easy,
yeah,
and it's hard, it's good to be there, and it's good to finish it, you know? And
yeah,
You don't recognize it until it's done, but...
There's so many excuses for starting, for not starting. There's a billion and a half reasons. Yeah, I mean, I can invent reasons. Yeah. Oh.
What, Maureen? What does it look like for you, the creative process? Is it the same always for you?
No, a lot of times I'm just blank.
Yeah.
I mean, blank, and I've got to pull it up somewhere.
What do? You just stand there in front of the canvas and go.
Sometimes I take a walk. Or
yeah.
Go pet the dog, or you know, I got to get away. I got to get out of the environment. And sometimes it's easy, but it's very. Agonizing at times.
Very, yeah.
I'm going through that right now, and especially when life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Like when life gets in the way, like, you know, I have to pay the bills, you know, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to, you know, take care of everything, and then I have to be creative. I have a commission right now I'm working on, and I've been blank, and the client also said to me something that made me blank out even more. And I was like, oh.
We need this to be the most amazing thing you've ever created.
No pressure.
<You know. laughs> And so one day, right before I was waking up, sometimes that's my best creative time.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
I wake up and I kind of lay there, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh.
You start getting ideas and.
Started getting ideas. Yeah. And I had to free myself up. I let myself think. I didn't start. Oh, we always overthink too.
Yeah, of course.
We always overprocess.
We judge it.
And we're our worst critics.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I think it doesn't matter what you do, whether you paint, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether you're making dinner, you know, it's like if you're making it homemade, does that taste good? Try this.
Oh yeah.
Somebody else's opinion all the time.
Right, right.
Our worst critics.
That's so true. We are so judgmental and. We edit the crap out of our work like crazy, and you know, I was mentioning last night about how even the sermon writing process, like you know, Wednesday is my big writing day, and usually by the end of Wednesday, like we have a meeting where I'll sit down with a couple of the guys and we'll go through my outline, and I'll just walk in and say what I have to show you today is complete crap, and it makes no sense. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, and I sometimes I feel like it's like I have this idea. And so it's like I'm impregnated by an idea, and then on Wednesday afternoons, that baby of mine goes breech, and it's like okay, and then Friday hits, and I'm like C-section, and it is just absolutely terrifying. So I mean, I've walked in on Friday and said, all right. I'm going to have to call Larry and tell him he's on this weekend because I can't come up with nothing. I'm going to go online and download somebody else's sermon and just preach it. All right, Rick Warren or something, I don't know, you know, but no, it's an agonizing process, but you know, don't you learn to sort of start trusting the process, and you learn to start flowing with it a little bit better so you're not panicking as much.
You have to take that step.
Yes.
And I think sometimes you got to get the crap out first.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you just got to get the crap out.
That's right, Pete, that's right. Well, see, people...
It's a bumper sticker right there.
That's right.
Somewhere.
Well, like, see, what we see is we see the great finished product. What we don't see are all the failed attempts prior to it, right? Yeah. We read the novel, the book, whatever, poetry, and we go, man, that's so inspiring. Well, if you would have read draft number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was probably the worst thing in the world you could have ever read. You know what I mean? You're right. We have to sometimes get the bad out before we get to the good.
When we discuss failure, when we discuss getting the crap out or you know, not accomplishing what we have in mind, I think that a lot of the times, this has to do with being sensitive, is realizing that whatever we particular experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to bring to the next one that you do. And so even when you finish a painting, you finish an artwork, it's not, that's not the end goal. That is simply a step to the next one. That is simply, you know, almost an encouragement to say, see, you finished this, you can go to the next
thing. That's good.
And you can keep moving. So in that way, you know, I would even question, is in certain arenas, is failure even there?
Is it really even failure?
Because,
right.
There are things that you learn through that. And it's maintaining your curiosity. Like, can I do this? And what can I learn? What does this do? And then what does this paint and that other material, how do they cooperate together? And what, you know, with that approach, like, I'm curious about it. I can't really screw up because you sort of taper your expectations and say, this can work.
That's right.
And I'm just going to be open to learning.
That's good.
One of the things I teach is there are no mistakes. There's just another layer. And that think about that with your life, too. There's really no mistakes. It's just another layer. It's not whether you're putting paint on a canvas or you're drawing something. There's no mistakes. It's just another layer. You just have to keep. You have to keep going. You have to keep experiencing because process is learning.
Maureen, I just love your posture. And I think one of the things Maureen does is she opens up her home once a week to do art class, like painting class. What do you call it?
Open studio.
Open studio. Sounded much cooler than what I called it.
Art class.
Paint class. Anyway, but the cool story that kind of emerged out of that was Bobby. Is Bobby here? I saw Bobby. There he is. Like, Bobby, my understanding is that Bobby came into that class or in, what do you call it? Sorry.
Open studio.
He walked in open studio. Had never done like a painting, right? Was that your first time? Mm-hmm. And so like he went for it. Just tell us about that real quick.
Well, I gave him kind of a project and he was working on it and he intuitively has it there. He just doesn't realize it or know it yet. He doesn't know anything about process or elements of design and I just kind of kept going and then the art show was coming up and I said, why don't you...
His one piece he did for the first time is actually hanging out here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hanging in the hall, and I matted it and framed it for him, and it's hanging in the hall. So
that's awesome. Bobby, that's cool, man. Well, listen, I think, what's that? That's awesome. Yeah, and you guys, we'll put it on Facebook, too, so you guys can hear about these opportunities. We have to wrap up. There's so much we could talk about here, but I want to just say this because I think there's such a correlation between the creative process and just life. I know, you know, a lot of people in religion or in church circles, and growing up in the church, a lot of times it was, you know, let me just get, you know, make it through this life and get on to glory in heaven one day. You know, it was about the finished product. And I think the danger in that is that we then become, we are not present to the journey. And yet it's in the journey, exactly what you guys are saying, it's in the journey where we are formed, we are developed, our character, it's really where the work happens, right? And we so easily can miss that.
It's, a lot of the time it's where God reveals himself.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not making paint. I'm not making materials. God made those already. And
it's good.
He's faithful. So the journey is important because that's where God reveals himself.
So the creative process makes you a better artist. Well, the human journey makes you a better human, right? And I think the greatest temptation for any of us is to get overwhelmed by that journey and to get overwhelmed and to at times want to quit. And my guess is that there's probably some of us here today, like some of you're here and you've been praying and praying and hoping and hoping, and you've not seen that breakthrough or that whatever. It might be a relationship, it might be a dream you have, or whatever it is. You know, can I just encourage you to learn from these artists who the message I'm hearing today is no matter what, just keep showing up. Keep showing up. Show up. Don't stop. Don't stop dreaming. Don't give up. And there's a passage of scripture that I want to close with today that I think says it so well. It's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to put it up on the screen before we wrap things up here. But it's a beautiful reminder to us that Paul gives us, and he says this. He says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Man, just would you just right now just take a deep breath, breathe in, just receive that word, breathe out, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Sometimes doing good will wear you out. It will tire you out. And there'll be times you want to give up. But this promise here is you will reap, but only if you don't give up. I think that's a great word for us today. Don't give up. Keep trying. Keep dreaming. Would you guys bow your heads with me? And actually, before we do that, let's thank these guys for being here with us today. And we're going a little bit over today, and we've actually have one more thing after this prayer that you won't want to miss. So just hang out, okay? But let's bow our heads. Let's pray for a second. And God, I think the thing that I just want to pray for is this community. First of all, we thank you for the artists who are here, and God, especially thank you for these guys who are here on stage, and just all the other artists in our community who contribute to bringing goodness and beauty and truth into our environment, into our community. May we learn from them well, and I pray that you would give us give every one of us here today a tenacity. And a reminder that whatever that thing is that we're working towards and hoping for and believing towards, that God, we would continue to trust you, and that we would continue to be faithful, and we continue to allow that process to do its work. Because the promise you give us is so hopeful, and that is that God, in due season, we will reap as long as we don't give up. So I pray that today that you would help us in this journey, in this process. Because in the end, I think what we have to bring is something so hopeful, so beautiful, so life-changing, and so transformative. Not just for us, but for the canvases around our lives. We pray that. We thank you and ask for that now. In the name of your Son, amen.